welcome to the City of London and to the ancient coffee houses that used to be such an important part of the City of London. I'd also like to welcome you to what I call coffee law, to the extent that you can actually learn your all the relevant information of the courses that you're studying basically by sitting in a coffee shop with your mobile telephone or your mobile tablet. Everything that you require is provided on the system, and everything that you need is now made available digitally through a coffee house. For that reason, we need to understand the historical development and origins of coffee and the importance of this in terms of the early development of the City of London. Drinking coffee began in Turkey. It was initially called Kaufi, C-A-U-P-H-E. It was originally referred to in English writings by Sir Henry Blount in 1634, with a Mr. Edwards having an employee, Pasqua Rose, serving coffee in London from the 1640s and the 1650s. Mr. Edwards was very popular with all of his friends and professional colleagues because everybody enjoyed drinking the coffee that Pasqua Rose would serve. What happened was Pasqua Rose will open up the first coffee vending business in 1652 in the City of London. This was actually in, I think it's St. Michael's Alley, Cornhill, right beside the Bank of England. It wasn't actually a coffee house as such at that time. It was basically a shack built against an existing building. We think it was in the courtyard behind the church, which is just behind this wine bar that you can see here. This was the first coffee house in London, 1652. Although this was so popular, it grew massively, and there were very quickly 3,000 coffee houses in the City of London. The first coffee house in England had actually been in Oxford in 1650, which was opened by Jacob. That's now occupied by the Grand Café, that is opposite another coffee house in Oxford called the Queen's Coffee House, which claims to be the oldest continuing coffee shop in England, which was opened by a gentleman called Jobson in 1654. So the first coffee shop was by Jacob, which is now the Grand Café, in 1650, although the oldest continuing coffee shop is Queen's Lane in Oxford, 1654. The first coffee shop in London was Pasqua Rose in 1652. One of the reasons that coffee houses became so popular was that this was where daily news could be obtained and discussed, and business could be conducted before commercial office premises were opened, with the only other venues available being the ale houses or the taverns. There was no clean public water supply, and so everyone at that time either drank dilute beer, usually a quarter boiled water with a quarter beer, or wine clad if you were more well off. The coffee houses then had a major impact on the cultural conditions in the City of London at the time, because effectively there was a massive collective sobering up of the society across all elements at that time, because until then everybody had been drinking beer and wine almost every day, all day. A number of the largest financial markets in the world then began in these original coffee shops and coffee houses. Lloyd's of London began in Edward Lloyd's Coffee Shop, which I think was 1688. The London Stock Exchange began in Jonathan's Coffee Shop in 1680. And then a large number of other coffee shops would open, such as Garraway's, the Jerusalem, the Baltic, which would then become the origins of the international shipping market. What happened was various sets of clientele would begin to meet in different coffee shops, in different coffee houses, and then the coffee house, the coffee shop would then acquire a particular character. So for example, tradesmen dealing with Europe would meet in one coffee shop, people with goods being bought and sold in Africa would meet in another coffee shop, and people involved with insurance business would meet in another coffee shop. The clientele would then determine the mix of gentlemen who would then occupy each coffee shop, and that slowly would form into a more stable club, and then the club would adopt its own formal rules. Usually, very often, its own separate building would be acquired, and that was the origins of many of the most important financial markets in the world, in the city of London, all at the end of the 1600s and the beginning of the 1700s. Coffee houses were also referred to as penny universities, as you paid a penny to enter and you could then stay and drink as much coffee as you wished. They were also known for their civility and equality, with everyone having equal standing in society, in this, according to the coffee house standards and the coffee house status. The effect of that was that outside, a gentleman may have someone to drive his carriage, drive, look after his horses, or polish his boots, or hold his guns. When everybody entered the coffee shop, everyone was equal. Everybody sat together on long collective benches, and everybody engaged in polite conversation according to the rules of civility and manners of the particular coffee house. The coffee itself apparently was very strong. They used to boil it up in large pots, and they used to add a secret ingredient. The secret ingredient was mustard to give it some extra flavour. The taste apparently was not that pleasant, although it was the strength of the coffee itself and its sobering effects that everybody enjoyed. The key point was that the coffee shops became a centre of society where people could exchange news. The key currency wasn't the penny that you paid for entrance. The most important thing that was exchanged was news. At that time, there was no separate news services, almost of any form. There were some limited newspaper productions, but there was certainly no regular news services. So the proprietors of each coffee shop would then specialise, engage in collecting relevant information that was of interest and use to the proprietors of each particular coffee shop. And what actually happened was Mr. Carstain in 1698, in Jonathan's, opened up a form of first information collection on the prices of shares and stocks, which would then subsequently become the main dealing platform on the London Stock Exchange. An equivalent service was provided in Lloyd's of London, in the Lloyd's coffee shop, where, for example, other forms of information collection, including pigeons, were used. The beginning of the Lloyd's list for buying and selling ships, as well as chartering ships or freight services, again, all began in the coffee shops, all began in the coffee houses. These grew to become very popular in the City of London, and they had a major impact on the early development of business. We had the fire in the city of Great Fire in the City of London in 1666, although London would also be rebuilt at this point, and that almost assisted further develop the importance and role of these as public, social and business institutions. By the middle of the 1700s, end of the 1700s, there would then be a slight shift, switch in taste. The general populace would then move towards tea rather than coffee. The problem with coffee is that you had to boil it up and then you had to store it, look after it, and it was actually very strong. Women also were not, they were not prohibited, but they did not want to occupy, they did not want to go to the coffee shops. They actually disapproved of them. There was actually a pamphlet, a petition, the Women's Petition Against Coffee, which attempted to try and have them closed down and stop gentlemen occupying the coffee shops, although the coffee shops and coffee houses were very popular indeed. You'll see from this photograph here, the young gentleman in the front serving the coffee, that's, I understand, called à la menthe, when they hold the coffee pot very high like that. What would happen, however, was there was a shift in taste. People began with the large importation of tea, in particular from China and Asia, including India. People switched towards tea. This was much more sociable. It was easier to brew because you only needed some hot water. This was also very popular across society, in particular with women and for family purposes. And the tea house, the tea shop, would then grow in importance as the early coffee shops and coffee houses declined in relative status in society. But this was a very important part of British culture and British society at that time, which represents the beginning of the modern key phase of British commercial and business, financial and legal evolution. This is also associated with what's referred to as the Financial Revolution, which was 1688. Prince William of Orange is invited from the Netherlands to become the king. England no longer wanted to have a Stuart Scottish king because the Stuarts were Catholics. There was a move towards Protestantism at this time, as well as the rise and ascendancy of Parliament and development of parliamentary power. All of this comes together with what's referred to as the Financial Revolution in 1688, and this is the beginning of the construction of a modern form of civil government, essentially the first in the world, whereby we have this combination of the rise in the power of Parliament to hold the king and the rulers to account, strict controls over the budget and money that belonged to the country and the realm through this new democratic accountability, as well as we have the development of proper civil government with government departments, government agencies. At the same time, we have this parallel growth in private markets with the London Stock Exchange and with the insurance markets, so that we get this general wide provision of new financial services across the financial system, as well as this is just after we've had the growth of early forms of modern banking, as banks switched from the early goldsmiths dealers into new goldsmith bankers. All of this is occurring at the same time. The Bank of England is set up in 1694 by a Scotsman called William Paterson to fund the war with the French and raise £1.2 million to provide for the government. All of this comes together at the same time, and this is the beginning of the rise of the British system, British government and British society, which will then emerge into what will subsequently later become the British Empire and then the British Commonwealth. It's still very important to look back and understand the origins of this, in particular with regards to the historical importance and relevance of the early coffee house and early coffee shop.